Good morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas. Praise God. Before we get into our message, I wanted to give you the announcement on the Heart for the House. We started this about a month ago. We let you know that several of our different teams in the church, particularly in children's ministry, expressed some needs, and we didn't have the finances for it. So we started this Heart for the House, and we expressed it in three tiers, which would be $43.50. I ask you guys to start praying about a special offering on December 6th to go toward some curriculum and equipment that children's need, music group needs some stuff, facilities. And we just put it out there and ask you to pray and be led by the Holy Spirit and give a sacrificial gift over and above your regular tithes and offerings. And just put it out there. Let's just pray about it. So tier one was $43.50. We could cover most, you know, some of the basic stuff that the teams needed. Tier two was $78.50. We could get most everything, and at $99.50, we could get it all done. And we raised, the next slide, you all gave $8,089 to Heart for the House. That is awesome, awesome. Give yourselves a hand. You all did great. We just have a giving church. We give out to missions, to local stuff, we give out in many directions, and this was an opportunity to give in to what we do, which I believe in as much as anything that's being done on the earth. I love to see children's lives being changed right here in our services. So, and just to let you know, I know some people said I wouldn't be able to do something by December 6th. Can we have some more time? You know, we've extended this. Actually, we said at the very beginning, we wanted to do the offering on December 6th so we could start ordering curriculum. So we definitely can get the curriculum ordered and some of the other stuff. But we did at the beginning say it's open till December 31st. So I understand some people, you know, were not ready on the 6th, so it's still open. Some people weren't here last week. Just be sure you mark Heart for the House on that, and we'll keep adding to this. I'm still believing we're going to get the whole amount by the end of the year. All right, let's get into it. You know, and another thing, what you're doing, just think, you're leaving a legacy, leaving something behind, imparting into our next generation. Well, let's get into part two of our message. Oh, if it's Silent Night. If you need notes, raise your hand. The ushers will give you a note. Part two, Silent Night, we started it last week. And in case you didn't know, anytime you miss a message, you can watch it on the website. You can watch it. Our awesome, faithful crew gets that up. Go to the website, click watch. You can watch the service if you missed part one. Also, leading into this was a two-part series called If Only, which really kind of set the stage for Silent Night. Now, before I get into the actual heart of the message, I opened up a can of worms last week because I mentioned something. I told you that we're talking about peace and that some of you might even be stressed out not knowing whether to cook turkey or ham, remember it? And I told you I'll make it real easy for you. You cook lasagna and brajol. And only three people in the whole church knew what brajol was. Two Italians and a Polish guy. And nobody else knew what brajol. I'm telling you, I'm here to help you, okay? My job as a pastor is to make sure you know what's essential. Important stuff. It's very, you need to know about Jesus, and you need to know about brajol. You all are missing out. You are, because here, I went after that service. So many people asked me, how do you make brajol? And I have to be honest, I saw it being made, but my grandmother always made it. I don't know what was in it, but it was good. So I Googled it. Is that a word?
Yes.
It's all over the internet. People love brajol all over the world. Even Rachel Ray, is she some kind of famous cook or something? She's got a recipe, and here's a picture, Rachel Ray. That's brajol right there. See, I told you, that's exactly that my grandmother would make it. And you can go, and you can get a recipe for brajol. See, it's meat, and they put some stuff in it, and they roll it up, and then you put tomato sauce on it. Okay, I'm helping you guys for Christmas. I'm helping you out. Brajol, very important. Now, what a great time of year, Christmas. Don't you love Christmas? Christmas time of year, the lights, everybody's talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior come to earth. What an opportunity for us Christians who have him in our heart to make sure that people, you know, some people celebrate Christmas. They don't really have Christmas. And it's what an opportunity to make sure they have Christ in the celebration of Christ in their heart. What a great time to show kindness. I just want to remind you once again about our Acts of Kindness card. This is a great time of year when you're in Wendy's. Pay for the guy behind you and say, just tell him God loves him. Just that's what says, something extra to show you that God loves you. I mean, you can change somebody's day. You can change somebody's life. Also, something to think about, on Christmas Eve, we have a really neat Christmas Eve service every year. It's so awesome. Every year we have it, I think, man, so I wish so-and-so was here. I invite a lot of people. But we've got invitation cards for you to make it easy to invite someone to the Christmas Eve service. We're going to sing Christmas songs. We're going to take communion. We're going to celebrate the King of Kings. It's just a low-key, great time. Bring family. It's early enough. It's 6. It'll be done by 7. You can still go out and do whatever you do. I'm sure you all do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, the old Italian tradition on Christmas. Nobody else? Next week, I got a new slide for you. Okay, I have to take yeah. 7 fishes. Got to do the 7 fishes. All right. The topic of this series is peace. The world needs peace. The world's talking about peace. They're talking about world peace. If ever was a time you look around, isn't there a lack of peace on the earth? People are afraid, I think probably more than ever. Hypertension, high blood pressure, hypertension, physical ramifications is at an all-time high. Heart disease is on the increase. Anxiety is like never before. The sale of anti-anxiety medication is increasing exponentially. People have panic attacks. Terror, there's even a whole, this whole terrorism, what is it about? Bringing fear. Just the general stress level of life is at an all-time high. I mean, it's never been, people have always been fearful, but I mean, that's what Jesus said. In the last days, all these things would escalate. So last week, we talked about the difference between peace on earth and on earth peace. And the fact that Jesus didn't come to bring, don't throw anything at me now. I know you already got your Christmas card and it says peace on earth. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came to on earth peace among men whom his favor rests. So that's what we're talking about. If you're sitting around waiting for, you're like, all the hostility to cease, all the conflict in the planet to cease before you have peace, you'll never have peace. But Jesus said you would have peace. How? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. But the angel said to them, remember he's announcing the birth of Christ, picking up that story, speaking to these shepherds in the field. He came lowly in a manger. He didn't come as, you know, riding a white chariot as a king in a gold robe or something like that. He wanted to identify with us. He wanted us to be able to identify with him. Lowly, servant, humble. And the angel said, don't be afraid. There you go. He starts right off. Don't be afraid. And the same thing's true today. I don't know what you're facing. I know you're facing something. I know everybody in this room faces something every day, and it's the same announcement from the angel, don't be afraid. How can you not be afraid? That's what we're going to talk about. There's a way to not be afraid. And this is what this message is all about. I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior, yep, a Savior, that's what Christmas, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this is going to be a sign for you. You're going to find a little baby wrapped in rags and lying in a feed trough. Suddenly, a great company, the heavenly hosts, appeared with the angel praising God and saying, here's what, okay, where did they come up with this? God's telling these angels what to say. Here's the announcement. Here's what Christmas is all about. Glory to God in the highest, first of all, okay, everything goes to God. And on earth, peace, not peace on earth. Not peace on earth peace on whom his favor rests. So last week we talked about what you have to do to get the favor of God, because if you get the favor of God, peace will come. But we didn't have peace on earth because in the last 35 years of earth's of recorded history, they have recorded in 3,500 years, 14,351 wars. 14,000, is there peace on earth? Can you have peace?
Yes.
14,351 wars, and in those wars, 3.6 billion people were killed. 3.6 billion. That would be like half of all the people that are on the planet today. That's how many people have died in hostility, in war. And during these 3,500 years, there have been 8,000, slightly over 8,000 peace treaties. Not one of them worked. Not one of them. Peace on earth. My prayer for you this Christmas, as we look into this subject, next week we're going to wrap it up, three parts, is that the day after Christmas, December 26th, when somebody asks you, how was your Christmas, you will be able to say, it was the most peaceful Christmas I ever had. That's my prayer for you. That's what this message is about. John chapter 14, Jesus put it this way, taken from the Living Bible. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. How many like a gift? We like to get gifts on Christmas. He already gave you the best Christmas gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. Jesus don't lie. He's not exaggerating. He's not blowing smoke. It's true. He says, I'm leaving you. He left you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, it's not fragile like the peace the world gives, like the 8,000 peace treaties. They were fragile. Crack. Didn't last very long. Crack. Not like the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. Peace of mind and heart. So that's my, how's it going? How's it going with you? Jesus gave a gift to the world. Peace of mind and heart. I'm just talking about you. Now think about, do you have peace of mind? Do you have peace in your heart? I believe you don't have to leave here today without it. But we're going to talk about, and we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to show you how to pray to get peace in your own heart, in your own mind. So let's start with this question. Where do we lose our peace? Here's the big answer. There are others, but the like 99%. People. That's where we lose our peace. In 1 second, a person can lose, your peace can be gone. You can be in the throne room of heaven, worshiping, praying. You know, have you ever done that? Gone and got away and spent time with God. You made it to the mountaintop. Oh, you felt God. Oh, you're floating on the clouds, and you come out of your prayer closet, and one person says one word, or you look at your phone, and you get one text, and whoop, there it goes. I'm going to kill him. Am I the only one? Are y'all laughing at me? Or you identifying? Has that ever happened to anybody? I mean, you know, this is going to be the day that the Lord has made. Nothing could go wrong today. And just in 1 second, one person can say one thing. Bam, it's all out the window. Gone. I'm going to kill them. And you have to forgive me later, Jesus. I'm going to kill them today. And then I'll pray tonight. And then I'll be done taking care of them. And you can deal with them up there in heaven, because I'm getting rid of them on the earth. But a person can steal your peace just like that. People. Oh, look, and we're not alone. Look at David. Everybody remember King David? Great guy, right? Hey, here's what he said in Psalm 120. He says, too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I'm a man of peace, but when I speak, they're for war. You ever felt like that? I want peace. They want war, man. You ever been around those kind of people? I want peace, but they don't. They don't want peace. And then David goes on in the psalm and says it makes life almost unbearable. You ever felt like that? So today is not about how to resolve conflict. Now, there are good messages, and I think, you know, we've done messages on how to resolve conflict. That's a good thing to talk about. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm not going to talk about resolving the conflict. I'm talking about how to find peace no matter what. How to have peace on the inside, even though the conflict is still there, even though the war is still raging, even though the people that you have to deal with are still hateful, angry, mean as a snake. See, if you're going to wait for everybody to get it right, then you'll never have peace. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a peace of mind and heart. So that's what we're talking about today, how to take control over your mind and your heart, that even though everybody else is crazy, you can have peace. Because they're crazy. Not you, everybody else. Regardless of what others say or do, even if there's more war on the planet, even if the peace treaties, the peace initiatives that are going on right now don't work, you can have peace.
Yes, sir.
How about this? Even if your spouse gets meaner than they are now. Oh, you shouldn't have said amen. Nobody should have said amen to that. No, and don't be poking nobody either. I mean, that's a good time to be silent just right there. Just say, oh, and just don't say anything right there. Even if your spouse gets meaner, you can have peace. Even if your boss gets more demanding, you could have peace. Even if the government gets more unrealistic, you could have peace. Hey, listen, if you're waiting for the government to do everything the way you want, you never have peace. You got to start having peace on the inside of you and don't expect all that. Even if the world gets more ungodly, and it will, you can still have peace. Even if Newbury Road gets more congested, you can still have peace. Come on, what's going on with Newbury Road? I don't even want to go that way. Don't even go to the mall. Forget about that. Boy, they probably just saw what they probably ought to narrow the road. I think that's, even if the Gators drop more passes and miss more field goals, you could still have peace. You can still have peace. You wait for everything to go just right. No, but you got to make up your own mind on the inside of you. Decide to have peace no matter if the Gators win or lose. Even if FSU beats us, man. You could have peace. Did you know in 1945, the United Nations was formed, and this was their motto. This was their statement. Everybody knows what the UN, the United Nations, 1945, after World War II, they formed this. And here's their motto, to provide peace for all succeeding generations. How are they doing? How's that working out? You feel much better now that you know the UN is bringing peace. Has it brought you peace? No, they can't do it, but you can have peace. Let's look at, in your notes, some causes of conflict, and then we can learn how to deal with them. Causes of conflict. The first one, first fill in the blank, is distance. Distance in thought, in ideas, and in attitudes. This is where the conflict starts, and we're going to learn how to deal with it on the inside of you. How to handle, how to have peace of mind and heart. It starts with distance. Got to catch it there. That's why I give you the seven characteristics of a healthy life. One of them is having life-giving relationships by dealing with hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. You have to deal with these things as they occur, because the more distance you allow, the more you let something fester, that's the beginning of the problem. The second thing that happens is walls. When the distance starts, the next thing that happens is a wall. Have you ever done that? I did that. I had a lot of walls. When I became a Christian, I'm saved. If I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm worshiping. But I've got every wall that I had before I got saved, I've still got it. And the wall says, I'm not going to get hurt again. So what happens when distance starts, you begin to put up walls. But the dangerous thing is with walls is it doesn't matter who comes up to that wall, they still meet the wall, even God. Even the people God's trying to bring into your life, the wall is still there. So walls aren't good. I know it makes us vulnerable, but you got to trust God. So you have to start dealing with the walls. Distance puts up walls and says, I won't let it happen again. So some of us have walls. And those walls don't only just keep out the people that hurt us, they keep out the people that would help us. Yeah. And the one that would help us the most, God. Yeah. The next thing that happens in this progression is an escalation. Once you allow distance and walls, escalation begins to take place. It doesn't stay where it started. And then the problem becomes bigger than what started it. I've talked to people that haven't spoke to a loved one in 17 years, and you ask what's happening, they'll tell you all what's happened, and I say, what started it? They can't even remember what started it. What started it was insignificant. It's what happened in between now that dictates their whole life. The problem becomes bigger than what started. That's why you deal with it immediately. Because then it just compounds. And then the next thing that happens, the next in the progression, is a false belief. This is where things really start to go downhill fast. This is where the devil jumps in with both feet. He's already at the beginning, but this is where he wants to get you in a false belief because you believe a lie. You begin to believe a lie about that other person, about the situation, about life itself, and God, and yourself. Lies come into every aspect of life. False belief is the next step in this negative progression. And if you're dealing with situations or you have these things around you, you can see all these things taking place. You can even, if you analyze, you can go back and see how they took step by step. And when it gets to this step, a lie, this is a very, very bad place. Then the next thing that happens is called hostility. Hostility. The false belief leads to hostility. And I'm not just talking about the hostile action or interreaction. It becomes a condition of the soul. So that's the next step in the progression. This is in a really bad place. Then it becomes the hostility becomes the condition of your soul. If you ever met a hostile person, sometimes you wonder, what? What? Right? You become very unpredictable. The least little thing can tick you off, and you say, how did we get there from here? It's because when hostility gets into your soul, it affects everything you hear, every relationship. It's a very bad place to be, hostility of the soul. You just become a hostile person. We're all subject to that. Hey, life is tough. There is a devil loose, folks. He starts right when you're young. When most of this, if you go backpedal and start to figure it out, you'll find it came in at a very early age because we're innocent, we're susceptible. And the devil takes one little word that somebody said that had the position of influence in your life that you loved, that you respected, that you wanted, and then he takes it and he makes a wound in your heart and he brings it to this point of hostility that you become a hostile person. Everybody's going to leave this room today free. That's my belief. We've all brought hostility into our life by wrong reaction, by listening to the lies of the devil. But I'm going to tell you, this is what Christmas is all about. It's the power to have freedom. It's the power to have peace. He can heal. He will heal. That's what he came. Not to bring the absence of conflict on the planet, but to settle it in your heart so that in your heart, in your mind and in your soul, in your heart and your mind, you can have peace and you can get rid of it. It only takes you. That's what I want to talk about. It only will take you to be able to dispel all this. Just you. Doesn't need anybody else. Doesn't need anybody else to get rid of the hostility. You and God can remove all hostility from your life. David dealt with it in his own life, this King David. Here's what he said in Psalm 42. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He's talking to his own soul. See, isn't it the same guy? His spirit is talking to his soul. He says, "Soul, you ain't doing the right thing. You're in a bad place, soul. I got to lift you up. Why are you doing this?" Remember in Psalm 103, he talks to his soul. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's telling his soul what ought to be, and because it's not there. He spoke to his own soul. Sometimes you've got to talk to your own soul and say, "Don't go there. Don't do that. You're thinking about Christmas. You're thinking about Aunt Martha and Uncle Joe and this person that you haven't seen. And you're just, oh, I'm going to let them on. Oh, no." You've got to say, "Well, wait a minute, soul. Where are you going, soul?" Talk to your soul and say, "No, you don't want to go there. Don't do that." He says, "Why are you downcast? Why are you downcast? Jesus died for me. Why are you downcast, oh my? Why are you thinking these thoughts? Why are you hating when Jesus brought me peace on earth, peace on people who found favor with God? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Yeah, there's a lot of disturbed people on the planet. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we just look at where they ended up and we just react and go, "Whoo, they're messed up." I guarantee you, if you took the time to sit down with that person, you would be weeping with what they went through. It starts way back. Now, they need to do something about it. But you and I have stuff. Everybody in this room, we got stuff to deal with. We got issues. You got issues. I got issues. Guess what? All God's children got issues. If you don't think you got an issue, that's your issue. Why? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? That's where war happens in me. Why so disturbed within me? Here's the answer. Put your hope in God. Yeah? Yes. He won't let you down. He won't leave you there. He'll get you out of there. Yes. Yep. And you can do it today before you leave here today. Mm-hmm. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Don't allow it. The last thing that happens in this progression is war. War. Title of my message, War and Peace. It's two decisions, the two ends of the spectrum. War and peace. War and peace happening all over us. War and peace. War within yourself. You're not, you and I are not going to be able to stop the next of the 14,851 wars. But you could stop the war within you today before you leave here. War with yourself, war with others, and even war with God. Because you know what? If you're not at peace in your soul, you're not at peace with God. He made you. He owns you. He loves you. He gave himself for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you've got walls, you've got walls with God. If you've got war in your soul, you got a war with God. And that's not a war you're going to win. So let me make probably the most sober statement I'm going to make today, and I just want you to think about it. When you have war in your soul, it usually indicates that there are areas not submitted to God. So that's where you start the progression of getting out of this. I know that's kind of hard, but that's something that we all have to deal with. And we come about it rightly. See, the wall says, I'm not submitting this area to God because it's too sensitive. But I want you to think about this. Who are you talking about? He's not like everybody else. He's not going to do you like everybody else did you. But see, we just put God in with everybody else. You can't do that. You got to understand, He created you. He loves you. He forgave you while you were yet a sinner. Yes. He gave you a zero balance when you had a huge balance. He did it all ahead of time, and he's not retracting it. He is there to help you and to set you free. Amen. That's what we're going to do today. So look at this in James chapter 3, and then I'm going to give you three keys on how to get completely free. James chapter 3 says this: if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, all this junk in your heart, if you harbor it, where? In your hearts. Don't boast about it and deny the truth. Don't make excuses for it. Don't, you know, coddle it and make a read, you know, oh yeah, but no. Here's such wisdom. We think it's wisdom. Yeah, well, I've learned how to deal with people. No, he says that kind of wisdom, it doesn't come down from heaven. It's earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Does anybody want anything from the devil?
No.
Not me. For where you have envy and selfish ambition or this junk in there, you find disorder and every evil practice. It will just mess you up. So how do you remedy this and get peace? We'll start with Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to give you three keys in your note. It says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. I'm glad we're not going to end right there, because that wouldn't be a good place to leave us. It says, but now. There ought to be a difference between before we came to know Christ and after. That's what he said. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Yes. It's already been purchased. Your freedom, your peace has already been purchased. Yes. For he himself is our peace. There you go. We're not going to have world peace, but you can have peace in the world. He himself is our peace, who's made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That's it. He gets rid of the walls. He gets rid of the hostility. How? Number one, here's your first fill in the blank. Three keys to finding peace. You're going to leave here. Everybody's going to leave here today. No hostility. No more war. Number one, you won't find peace until you make peace. Now, it's not like this scavenger hunt, you know? Okay, if I can find all the pieces, yeah, I'm going to find it. I'm fine. No, you're not going to find. I know that some of you might want to go home and tear up your Christmas cards. Find peace on earth. No, because you're not going to find peace. Here's how it works. You have to make peace. That might sound hard, but it also is a blessing, because if I have to find it, what if I don't find it? But if I can make it, and God says I can make it, I can have it. You don't have to find peace. You have to make peace. It starts with you. James chapter 3 says this: but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, so it starts with loving peace, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, watch this, peacemakers, not peace finders, not people that stumble across it, peace what? Peacemakers, who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness, right standing. So the result of peace is that you're made right with God and in you. It's right. Yeah. All is right with the world. Yeah, that's the last line of that. It's called Christmas Story. Is that that movie? The little kid? Right? No, not Home Alone. The kid that... I know some people don't like it. Rebecca doesn't like it. It's the guy, his father gets the lamp with the leg. Right? Christmas Story. Not Christmas Story. It's the little kid gets the BB gun, shoots your eye out. You got to watch that. Come on. But it's all in the Christmas Story. I mean, Rebecca doesn't like it. I like it. This is one of my favorite movies. The last line of the movie, he's laying in the bed and he says, all is right with the world. You remember that? That's my favorite part of the movie. All is right with the world. He got his BB gun and he shot his eye out, but he's okay. The result of peacemaking is that things are made right in you. Jesus put it this way, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's some good news, folks. You can be a peacemaker in you, and all will be right with the world. There'll still be wars, but it'll all be right with the world because it's right in you. Peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The word blessed, it starts with the word blessed. The Greek word is makarios, which means happy inside. See, he said the peace would be where? In your mind and in your heart. Happy inside are the peacemakers. You can be happy. You can have a good Christmas. You can have the best Christmas you've ever had. And it's not up to somebody else. It's not up to the gifts that you get. It's not even up to the weather or the country or the world, your family, your spouse. You can make peace. Are you happy inside? Because that's what Jesus wants. Well, how do I do that? Number two, then, you make peace through reconciliation. That's a big word, but we're going to break it down. You make peace through reconciliation. I used to teach accounting. Loved teaching accounting. And part of, we taught a very basic accounting. Part of it was just to teach people to be entry-level bookkeepers, and we taught them how to balance a bank statement. If you got a job for a business, a small business, they were expected that you were going to balance a bank statement. Does anybody know what a bank statement is? Does anybody checking account? Does anybody have a checking account anymore? I don't know, because like my daughter Rachel, she doesn't have a check. She needs to write a check. Can you write me a check? They don't have it. Everything's with cards and the phone. She does everything on her phone. We used to have this thing, a piece of paper called a bank statement, and you had to reconcile it. Your checkbook, you had to reconcile your checkbook with the bank. You reconcile what you said that you have. So like one lady, she ran out of money. She said, how did I run out of money? She said, I still got 3 checks left. See, that doesn't really work that way. Nah, you might want to be reconciling that statement once in a while. Do I have what my check stub says? Is it the same thing the bank says? Because if the bank don't say you got it, you ain't got it. And the point of the bank reconciliation was this, to bring the difference to zero. We call it a zero balance, to zero it out. Now, if you've ever done any financial statements, I remember look at my dad's financial statements when I was a little kid, like 10 years old. And I said, man, that's amazing. I didn't have any idea what it meant. But there's a balance sheet, right, which balances your assets equal your liability and your owner's equity. And the two, and then it was always a big number at the bottom here and a big number at the bottom here, and they were the same. And I used to think, that's amazing. That's the way it works. I mean, it's double entry accounting. It has to be a zero balance. There has to be no difference. Call that a zero balance. No discrepancy. Zero balance. All right? That's what a reconciliation is. Now, here's the good news. For you, you don't need anybody else's cooperation to come up with a zero balance between you and God. You don't have to reconcile with the other person. Now, there's lots of good teachings on how to do that. That's not what this is about. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about everybody leaving here and going and getting everything right with everybody that you ever had a problem with. I'm talking about it's just you and God can fix this thing today before you leave here. You don't have to pick up a phone. You don't have to go see nobody. You can get reconciled right there on the inside of you. You can bring your balance to zero. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God who, look at this, who reconciled us to himself. Do you know he went ahead when he looked at the cross, when he died on the cross, he reconciled your balance. He set your balance at zero before you made any kind of motion toward him. He reconciled us to himself through Christ. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Look at this. Not counting men's sins against them. That's Christmas. That's the good news of Christmas. That's what we need to be telling people. You know what? God's not counting your sins against you. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's what we're selling people. Not religion. It's a relationship with your Creator. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation, which he just said is that you have a zero balance, that you have to do something about it. For grace are you saved through faith. Grace was the zero balance. Faith is your acceptance of it. There's something for us to do, but technically the balance is zero. All you got to do is cash in on it. Committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He's already brought peace. If you don't have peace, it's there. Cash in on it. Get it. Get the zero balance. Balance, zero the balance, and get the peace. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you have a zero balance today? 1 John chapter 4, Jesus says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother. So now, do you have a zero balance today? If anyone says he loves God, hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. If you hate somebody, you don't have a zero balance. You don't have to call them. You can set it to zero before you leave here today. How do you do it? Let it go. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you. I know you want me to sing. I know. I'm so great at singing Frozen music. I'm good at that. I know. But I'm not going to do it. Let it go. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You just got to let it go. Yeah. And carry a zero balance. Now, here's point three. You can't reconcile until you've been reconciled. Until you've been reconciled. Now look at this, Proverbs 16, verse 6. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Starts with you. You and I, we have to be reconciled to get it right with God. If we've held something against somebody, who am I to hold something against somebody when God has forgiven me so much? I get it right with God and I confess, man, you know, I hate that person. That's all. Just get honest with God. I'd like to kill him. I'd like to choke them. Yeah, just get honest with God. You know what? It'll just bring freedom to your life, man. Get right with God. Get a zero balance with God. Get peace in your life. You can have peace this Christmas. You want peace? Have peace with God. No matter what happens in the world, you can have peace with God. You need to make your own peace this Christmas. Make peace. Make it. Peace. Be a peacemaker. Let's just start praying. I told you, I don't want anybody to leave here today with the baggage that you brought in. I don't want anybody to leave here today with a balance. I want you to have a zero balance. But you have to do it. We're not going to call that person. We're not going to go visit them. We're going to repent to God for having the balance. and then just go ahead and forgive and release, because you know what? He's already forgiven you of a whole lot more than anybody has ever done to you. Is there some area of your heart that needs a balance? Maybe you need to zero out. Just pray. Maybe you need to zero out someone's balance. It might be your spouse. It's been a long time. There's lots of stuff added up. And you just keep adding to the balance. It's not going to get better till you just, on your part, single-handedly, just zero it out. You say, do they deserve it? No, neither do you. You didn't deserve what Jesus did for you. I didn't. It's not about them deserving it. It's about you having peace in your heart and in your mind, which is what God wants you to have. You got something, you got an account with your spouse, go, just you right now, zero it out. With a parent? Oh, that's a good one. What they did, what they didn't do. You still got an account with them? Do you still have a balance with them that you would like for them to call you and say, you got a balance? Be a peacemaker in your heart. Make peace. Zero it out. Go ahead. Just zero it out. Child? As a child, said something, did something, you got a balance. You can be a peacemaker right now. Just zero it out. Zero it out. God zeroed your account out before you did anything. He zeroed out your account. Go ahead, just zero them out. Don't tell me why you deserve to keep, just zero them out. Maybe your boss. Maybe a school teacher, a coach, a person that you trusted that betrayed that trust. They did you wrong. I'm not saying they did you right. I'm saying Jesus said you could have peace. Just forgive them. Zero. Zero it out. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for moving in every heart and every mind right now. You're moving in people's lives, helping us to do what we can't do in our own strength. Just make it a zero balance. Just a zero balance. It's okay. Zero. 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 Just zero. Start zeroing them out. You might have a whole list of people. Just zero. 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 Why? I want to have peace. I want to have peace in my heart and peace in my mind. I don't want to be messed up. I don't want to have a wall. I don't want to be hostile. I don't want to have war on the inside of me. Zero, 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 zero. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, do you have peace with God? Have you ever made that peace with God? Have you ever accepted the zero balance that he's offering you? Maybe you're here today. If I said, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know. Think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody really know for sure? Bible says this, these things I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life? You know what? Someone asked Jesus that question. You know, here's what he said. You must be born again. What's that? That means you just make a decision to surrender your life to Christ. Start all over again. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He forgives all your sins. Yep, it's that simple. You say, Pastor, that's too simple. I didn't make it up. That's what God did. It's simple. It's an act of your will. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. That's how simple it is. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I need to be with God. And I want to get back on track. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. If either one of those two apply to you and you want to surrender your life to Christ, slip up your hand just right where you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? You mean business with God. You want to be sure if he died tonight, you go to heaven. You could just trust him with your life. It doesn't take anybody else. You just say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want my sins forgiven. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to start? You want a fresh start? You've let too much water under the bridge. You want to get back on track. Anybody else? Everybody help him. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. So proud of you. So proud of you. Great way to go into Christmas. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, there's on your connection card.